Welcome back to the OU's Mishnah Yomis. My name is Jack Abramowitz, and today we will be concluding the first parak of Maseches Peah and beginning the second parak. The last Mishnah in the first parak, which is Mishnah Vav, says, you know what, let me give you some background information. Peah is supposed to be given from standing grain. But what happens if somebody neglected to leave Peah over from their field? They harvested the whole thing, and then they said, oops, I forgot to leave Peah. They still have to give Peah from the grain that they cut down. Now, normally, Peah is left in the field, and you only give Trumas and Maaseres from what you cut. If you cut your field first, oops, I forgot to leave Peah, you would remove Peah, and then give Trumas and Maaseres, tithes, from what's left, except under a certain condition which we're about to discuss. So now, Mishnah Vav says, L'olam hu nosein mishum Peah, u'patr min ha-maaseros. He always gives Peah, and it is exempt from Maaser, ad shi'mareach, until he smooths over, until he evens out the pile of grain that he's harvested. V'nosein mishum hefker. He also can make his grain hefker, ownerless, for whoever wants to take it. Upachim in a maestros, and it would not be obligated in maestros, in tithes, ad shimareach, until he smooths it out. Umachal lebehema ulachaya ulaofos, and he can use that grain to feed animals or birds. Upachim in a maestros, and he doesn't have to give maestro from that. Ad shimareach, until he smooths it. Venotum in hagorin vizorea, and he can take grain, he can take seeds from the granary and plant them. Upatim in a maestros, ad shimareach. And he wouldn't have to give maestro on that until he smooths it. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. This is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Kohen v'levi shalachu es hagorin. A Kohen and a Levi who purchased a granary. It doesn't actually mean that it's a threshing floor. It doesn't mean that they bought the threshing floor. It means that they bought the produce. Hamaisro shalahem, they get to keep the tithes, ad shimareach, until such time as they are smoothed out. Hamakdish upodeh, somebody who makes his grain hekdesh, he gives it to the temple, he sanctifies it, and then he redeems it. Chayev b'maisros, he has to give maaser from it, ad shimareach hagizbor, unless the temple treasurer has smoothed it in the interim. So what we see from this is that one would not have to give maestros until such time as the grain was made into a nice, neat pile. As long as he's still just gathering and throwing it in, and it's all over the place, it's not yet obligated in maestros. And he can do any of these things that we discussed. He can make it hefker, he can feed it to animals, all these things he can do, and maestros don't kick in until the pile is smoothed out. So let's take a look at the Bart Nora, who will give us a little more clarity on this. Lolam hu nosein mishum Peah, he still has to give. He always has to give Peah. Mishlo haniach Peah b'sadeh b'mechuber. Someone who didn't leave over Peah standing in the field from the attached stalks. Chayev lahafrish min hatalush. If he didn't give it when it was still standing, then he has to give it from when the grain is detached. V'hapeah shemafrish min hatalush v'nosein la'aniyim. And the Peah that he separates from that which has been detached, that he gives to the poor people, Patura min ha-maestros. He doesn't have to take Trumas and Maestros from that. So just like he would have left it in the field, he would only give Maester on what he harvested. Same thing, if he takes off the part that he should have left in the field, he would only give Maestros from what he should have harvested. Ad shimareach, until the pile is smoothed out. Shiyaseh keri v'tzibor shel tevua, till he makes the pile, the gathering of the grain. Aval imbola hafrish peah achar hamruach, but if he comes to take the peah after he's already smoothed out his grain pile, tzarech shiyafrish hatruma v'hamaisros tchila, then he would have to take truma and maaser first. So once he smooths the pile, that's when it's obligated in truma and maaser. So if he smooths it, then even though he hasn't taken Peah, it would be Trum and Maaser, followed by Peah. V'arkakach yitol ha-Peah. Afterwards he would take the Peah. She'ein pater min ha-Maaseros el ha-Peah hanoteles kodem ha-Merucha. Because only Peah that's before the pile is smoothed out is exempt from Trumas and Maaseros. He can make his grain ownerless, and then it would be exempt from tithes. Hamafkir tivoso uva echad v'zachaba. Someone who makes his grain ownerless, he says, this is up for grabs, and then somebody else comes and takes it. Ein hazochim ba chayv maisros. The one who comes and takes it doesn't have to give maaser from it. Dichsiv, and it quotes a pasuk in Sefer Devarim, uba halevi ki ein lo chelek v'nachla imcha. That it says that the reason that we have to give a tithe to the Levi is because he doesn't have a share with us, so we have to support him. Yotze hefker sheyad chaviyado shavin. So this doesn't include hefker, because hefker is equal for everyone. So if I'm from Shevet Yehuda, I have land. If I'm from Shevet Reuven, I have land. If I'm from Shevet Levi, I don't have land. There, the Levi's at a disadvantage. But if I make something hefker, anyone can take it. The Levi can take it, a Yisrael can take it, a Kohen can take it. So there the Levi's not at a disadvantage, so it's not obligated in Maisrus. Aval hamafkir tivuaso la'achar hamurach, but someone who makes his grain hefker after he smooths it, ein ha-hefker ha-hu pater min ha-maiser. This hefker would not be pater from maiser, because it became obligated in tithes when he smoothed it. He would have to take the tithes before putting the rest of it up for grabs. Umachal behema, he can feed it to his animals. Va'afilu hu atzmo mutalecho achilas aroi kodem meruach. Even he would be allowed to have a snack now and again. He can pick at the grain that's in the pile before it's smoothed out. Avaha behema ochelas afilu achilas keva. But an animal could even be fed regularly from this pile. So he works in the granary, he's got grain all around him. Yeah, he can pop some in his mouth every now and again, but he can even use it on a regular basis to feed his animals until such time as the piles are smoothed. V'noto min ha-goren v'zorea, he can take from the granary and plant it. D'min ha-torah ha-zorea pater min ha-maiser, because midioraisa, from the Torah, the grain that's used for planting is not obligated in maiser. Afilu la'achar ha-maruach, even after it's been smoothed. D'chsiv aser ta'aser v'achalta, it says that you should give maiser, you should give tithes, and then you can eat it. V'zorea lo karinam be'v'achalta, and if he's using this as seed, if he's planting it, then that's not called eating it. It's not you shall eat. So it's only food that you're going to eat that's obligated in maiser min ha-Torah. Mihu midrabanan chayev. However, midrabanan, rabbinically, then it is obligated in maaser. Sfir leyolar Rabbi Akiva, dekodem ruach pater min hamaaser, afilu midrabanan. And Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that before it's smoothed out, it's pater, it's not obligated in maaser, even midrabanan. Vein halacha k Rabbi Akiva, but the halacha does not follow Rabbi Akiva in this. So now we said that a Kohen and a Levi who purchase a threshing floor, Shalachu es hagoren, they purchased the threshing floor. Shekanu tevua min hagoren. Really what it means is they get the produce, they get the grain from the threshing floor. So they get to keep the maestros for themselves, truma and maestro respectively, for the Kohen and the Levi, unless it's been already smoothed. V'ikantzu chachamim shiyu chayavim lahafrish trumasu maestros ulaseisosam lekohanim v'levim acherim. They made a penalty that they should have to separate the trumas and maisras and give them to other kohanim and levim. Kadei shaloyu kiftsim liknos tevua o yayin legasos ulegronos. V'im kanu kodem hamruach she'adayin lo hukvua tevua zu lemaiser ha'maiser shalahem. So the reason that they can't just go around buying up all the grain is that then they would get to keep all the trumas and maisras, so the other kohanim and levim would get nothing. That's not fair. That's not good business. So they made a penalty that if they purchase this produce, they have to give the trumas and maestros to somebody else, unless it hasn't been smoothed yet. If it hasn't become obligated in trumas and maestros yet, then they get to keep it. Hamakdish upode, someone who makes something hektish, he sanctifies it to the temple, and then he redeems it. Hamakdish garno, ufado miyad hagizbor, someone who gives over his grain or his threshing floor to the temple, and then he redeems it from the treasurer. V'hugadish okama shalahukva lemaiser kishahaya biyad ha-hekdesh, and it did not yet become obligated in maestros before it became hekdesh. Chayev hapode lahotzi mimenu ha-maestros. When he gets it back, then the person who redeems it has to give maeser from it. Aval im nismarach ha-goren biyad ha-gizbor, But if it became smooth, if it became obligated in Mysras while it was in the hands of the temple treasurer, Ho'u b'shah shahayah roi sheyakvu l'maiser d'hainu bizman hamruach haisa b'yad ha'hekdesh ein hapodeh chayev l'hotzi mimenu maisros. Then, if it became obligated in Mysras, or would have been obligated in Mysras when it was in the hands of the treasurer, then when the guy gets it back, he doesn't have to take Mysras from it. Sheha'hekdesh patim min ha'maisros. So if it's not yet obligated in Mysras and he gets it back and it becomes obligated in Mysras, it's on him. If it reaches the state that would require Mysras while it's in the hands of the temple in the Beis HaMikdash, then when he gets it back, he doesn't have to take Mysras from it because Hekdesh is not obligated in Mysras. That is the end of the first parak in Peah. We now begin with the first Mishnah in Parak Beis. Now, what we need to know for this Mishnah is that it says that you should take Peah from your field. Each field that you own is obligated in Peah. If you own 2 fields, 3 fields, 5 fields, 10 fields, each one is obligated in its own Peah. If you have 60 fields, you can't take 1 field and say, this is Peah for all of them. You have to give a corner of each individual field. So now the question is, if you own a big piece of property, what makes it considered 1 field, what makes it considered 2 fields, what separates between pieces of property and makes them different fields? So Perek Bey's Mishnah Aleph says, Ve'elum afsikin lepeya. These are the things that cause a field to be considered divided when it comes to peya. Hanachal, a river. Vashlulis, a stream. Vederech hayachid, and a private road. Vederech harabim, and a public road. Ushvil harabim, ushvil hayachid, Hakvua bimos hachama ubiyamos hagashamim, a public path and a private path that are used both in the summer and in the winter. The habor, which is literally a pit, and we'll see what that is. Vahanir, which is a plowed field. Vazera acher, and some other crop. Vahakotzer l'shachas mafsik, and someone who reaps destructively also interrupts. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim omrim eino mafsik ela im kein charash. The sages say that this is not considered an interruption between fields unless he also plows it. So let us take a look in the Bartonuro. Eilu mafsikin ben sade la sade, between 1 field and another. V'yu nechavshim kishtei sados la'inyan she'im meniach pea be'achas mehen achavrta lo also lo Lepea, that they are considered 2 separate fields, so that if he would give Peah for one of them, it would not suffice to serve as Peah for the other. Dichsiv, and it says in the Torah, Pa'asadcha, the corner of your field, Lo yaniach Peah misada lechavrata. You cannot give Peah from 1 field to another. Hanachil, Nahar, it's a river. Vahashlulis, Amas Hamayim, it's like a canal. V'derech ha'yachid, 4 amos, that's 4 amos wide. V'derech ha'rabim, 6 esrei amah, that's 16 amos wide. Now, it might seem silly, why does it need to tell us a public thoroughfare? Certainly, if a road that's 4 amos wide that a private individual uses is a division between fields, certainly one that's 4 times as wide that the public uses is going to be considered a division. So why does it need to tell us this? Umishum seifa nakatla. This is told to us because of what's going to be in a subsequent Mishnah. Deboi lemisne seifa should call elu ein mafsikim be'ilan. Later on, it'll tell us the following things do not separate in the case of an orchard. V'komash malan de'afilu derech harabim shehi rachva shesh esrei ama eno mafsekas be'ilan. And it's going to tell us that even a public road that's 16 amos wide doesn't separate in the case of an orchard. So here, parallel structure, it's telling us that it does separate in the case of a field. Shvil harabim u'shvil hayachid, a public path and a private path. Shvil zoter tova de shakiel kira u manach kira. It's smaller than the road. It's like a channel. Vashmu inan de afilu shvil de rabim imhu kavuli mosachami yulinosagashamim klomashima halchimba afilu bismancha hasados zros biyamosagashamim mafsik bein hasados hazros. So this is telling us that even a public path has to be used both in the summer season and in the rainy season. Ve'ilo lo mafsik. But if it's not used year-round, then it's not a separation. So that's true even for a public path. And habor, literally a pit, sodesh eino zrua, it's a field that's not planted. So if you've got cultivated land over here and cultivated land over there, and you've got just bare, rocky, uncultivated soil in the middle you haven't planted there, that's a separation. V'hanir, harisha kamo niro lachem nir. It's plowed land, and it gives a pusik in Yirmiyahu that shows us the word in action. V'zera acher, some different crop. Kagon sheshtei hasados zeros chitim ubenehem karka zerua min acher. It's like you've got two fields that have wheat in them, and in between them, there's a field of something else. So you've got a big piece of property, and you've got wheat on one end, wheat on the other end, and barley down the middle. So that would make the two wheat fields considered two separate fields. Vishur rochav habor v'hanir v'zera acher. And how big a separation does the uncultivated land or the plowed land or the other field have to be? Kedei shlosha talmesha ma'anis hamacharisha. It's like three rows of plowed land. V'hakotzer l'shachas mafsik. Someone who reaps destructively is an interruption. D'ksavar kol l'shachas lav k'tzirahi. The opinion is that anything that's destructive is not considered reaping or harvesting. It's not considered the beginning of the harvest. Shachas, what does it mean destructively? It's produce that's not a third ripe. And it's harvested to feed to animals. But the halacha does not follow the opinion of Rabbi Meir in this subject. So that is the conclusion of Perek Aleph and the first Mishnah in Perek Beis. Join us tomorrow when we will continue with Perek Beis and Mishnayos Beis and Gimel.